This is Victory House.
All right, this morning, we just want to wrap up what we've been talking about, House on the Rock. Amen to Jesus. And look at that wonderful word that we heard about parenting. Amen. I had one man of God say this week, say, what you don't know, you don't know. What you don't know, you don't know. People always assume that some things are impossible because of location. I have heard people saying this is America. God is not a geographical God in that sense. What God can do anywhere in the world, he can do anywhere in the world. If God heals in Africa, he can heal in the United States. If God helps raise children in Africa, he can help raise children in the United States. Because you are in the United States does not mean your children will go wayward. And I declare over you, your children will serve the Lord. Your children will do you proud. That was a good word. Can you put your hands together again? Thank you so much for that timely word. Amen to Jesus. Just, I have a few minutes. Let me run through this quickly. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. I'm from verse 1 to 7. As you're opening to that, please be reminded we are praying and we're fasting. Today is our first day of the prayer and fasting. We continue tomorrow and on Tuesday. Every morning, 6 a.m. and every evening, 6 p.m., we will be on the prayer line. I will be there. I'm always there. But this time around, I will be there and I'll be leading too. Because we understand that you take control of what happens in the physical, in the spiritual. So many people look at things in the physical and think the most valuable and most tangible part of our existence is physical. No! The biggest part of our existence is spiritual. We came from the spirit and we are spirit. And if you want to really, really gain mastery, go back into the spirit. And that's what we're doing the next 3 days. Well, today is already almost gone in the grand scheme of things. But in the next 2 days, you are going to set the agenda for the next 6 months. And it will be a glorious one. The next 6 months will be just months of testimonies for you and yours in Jesus' name. All right. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. I will read to 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yes, as God said, note that, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you will not eat out of it, neither should you touch it, lest you die. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you will not surely die. God is not telling you the full truth. He's not telling you the whole story. For God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you will be as gods. Excuse me, what were they? They were gods. They were the animal, imagine then, lions, elephant, they were afraid of these guys. Because at that time, there was no fear of man didn't have fear for animals. The animals had fear. It was until after the fall that man started running away from animals. They would lie down because these guys were gods. But he said, told them, when you do this, you become gods. He said, ye be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. Verse 7. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So this morning, by the grace of God, in a few minutes, I want to talk to you about what you said and what I heard. What you said and what I heard. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand that the devil is real. I know that because of technology, I know because of sophistication, many people have tried to dress up the fact that, well, you know what I mean? Some of these things that people talk about is not for like that. The devil is real. And one of his major ways, which he used here, is he still using it today? The Bible said the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts. And in this case, we're not just talking about the serpent as it regards to the animal, the serpent. It was talking about the devil representing, the serpent representing the devil. And saying that the devil is very subtle. The devil does not come like you see on those movies that they'll draw on and all of that kind of thing. No. He comes like a gentleman. He comes just like he came to Eve and said, really? What did God say? And he quotes Bible. He talks scriptures. He does everything. He will just add a little or remove a little. The devil is real and he's subtle. And that's why many homes, the devil has infiltrated in one area or the other, and many families don't know. They are fighting one another, but they don't know that the real enemy is the devil. But I stand on the authority of the word of God this morning. I declare any activity of the devil, because the word of God says, hearing what the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. No matter the area, no matter the ground the devil has gained in your family, I break the hold. In the name of Jesus. So the devil is real. And he wants you to think he's not real. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 11. He said we are not ignorant of the devil, devices of the enemy. That's why we come to church. That's why we read the Bible. Because you need to understand your enemy. Ask anybody that does anything about warfare, combat. One of the first things you need to understand is you need to know your enemy. You need to know how you operate. Because if you don't know how you operate, it's going to take you based on your ignorance of him. And the devil is taking many people by ignorance. He's deceiving them because they think some of the things they see are just normal. So sometimes you see actions in your children. You just think it's normal, but they went to visit some people. They went to visit some kids that live in homes that everybody is always fighting. And soon your daughter or your son came out and he's fighting like that. Sometimes you need to speak to that spirit that is causing that to happen and silence that spirit. I declare any spirit, any activity that is not of God in your home is silenced in the name of Jesus. So the major thing the devil does, and is still doing today, it distorts. The devil intends to distort what God has said. He creates another alternate reality and he causes division. I call it division so that I put you get the emphasis. Division is two words. Division, two visions. If you have a vision from God, if you have a word from God, if the word of God says something, if the devil is able to introduce any other word contrary to that word and make them exist side by side, he creates a division. And that's what he's doing in the family. He knows that when there is one language, when the husband and wife, they can talk together, when the husband, the father, the parents can talk to their children, when there is effective communication, the family will go forward. So one of the things he likes to do is to create division by breaking the language. Amen to Jesus. In Genesis chapter 11, we read of the story of when men said they were going to build a tower to heaven. They said they wanted to build the Tower of Babel. And the Bible said they were of one language, or they had a common union, or something we call communication. Their communication was one. When the communication is one, when the language is one, God even said in Genesis 11, there will be nothing that will be impossible for these people to do. So even God cannot break communication. If there is one language, even if you are trying to do a bad thing, it is more likely to happen than not. Even God in that Genesis 11 could not stop them. So the devil knew in this passage that we read in Genesis 3 that if I can introduce another communication, if I can introduce another vision, if I can change the language, if I can make the husband and wife not to be saying the same thing and get the husband and wife to be against God, I will break whatever God has intended to do for them. But it will not succeed in your family. I thought it is you. You say bigger amen. So the devil is always about making us have division instead of good communication in our homes. And so it makes us to make some of the greatest mistakes we can make about communication. One of them is it makes us to ignore the power of attention. What I call the power of attention. I've always wondered, how was the devil able to get to Eve? How was the devil able to get to Eve? There were two human beings. At this time, they didn't even have children. Yes, Adam was naming animals and stuff like that, and the Bible said he was supposed to till the garden and all of that kind of thing. But I'm just curious where he was when a snake was talking to his wife. I think there was distraction. One of the greatest challenge of modern day man is distraction. There is a lot of distraction. And the devil knows that if I cannot break this guy, I just need to get his eye off the focus. Because if you are not focused on what God wants you to focus on, very soon you will begin to look like other things that is distracting you. There's a scripture, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. The Bible said, you will keep him in perfect peace, he whose eyes is stayed on you. The reverse of this is this. The person will be in chaos, there will be anarchy, everything will be out of whack, he whose eyes is distracted from you. So the devil understands this perfectly well, and so he messes up our focus, he messes up our attention. And so some of us, we focus on the wrong things. There are some of those things that are not bad in themselves, but we leave the weightier matters and focus on that. So sometimes as a parent, you are focusing on making money, you are focusing on getting a lot of income and giving a better life to your children, and you now leave the weightier things of having time with those children. So there are many children that have things that money can buy, but have no things that money cannot buy. And so because they have things that money can buy, they will get the result that only money can get. And the things that a parent can do will not be done. But I'm praying for you that everywhere focus has been out of place in your family, it will return back to that place in the name of Jesus. So we see here that Adam was not with Eve. So he was distracted. It was distraction that led to this spiral thing that eventually led to the fall. It started with distraction. Because you see, if you can have your attention, if God can have your attention, he will have your affection. Affection is always going in the direction of attention. Anything you put attention to, very soon your affection will be there. I've shared this story before in Victory House, maybe not in this building, of several years ago, where somebody told me, I was asking the person that, how do you know if you're in love? I was a young kid then in middle school. Is it middle school now? Yeah. Kind of like middle school. And I asked, how do you, he said, you will just feel something. I told the guy, I said, I don't feel, I've never felt anything. He said, you will feel something. I said, I've not, all these people in my class, I don't feel nothing. I'm just normal. He said, you will know. I said, okay, all right. So I didn't know what I was doing then, but now in retrospect, I know that it was the power of attention that was working. So there was one of the ladies that I thought this lady looked good. And I would just write her name. When I go, because I was in a boarding school, when I go, they call it prep time, when we read and all of that, I would just be writing the girl's name on my book. God help some people. Amen. At this time, I didn't know Jesus. Amen. I will write the girl's name on my book. I kept writing it all kinds of way. After a while, I would write it on my hand too. And you know what happened? I started dreaming. And I would see the girl. You know, I mean, not like nightmare. It's not my wife, don't worry. And I was not seeing the girl. But I discovered, and just about not long ago, that it was because I was putting my attention on that. I was putting a lot of my attention on that. That's why if you are hungry and you are thinking about food so much, when you sleep, they will give you food in the dream. Can somebody say amen? It is called the power of attention. What you focus on, What you put your attention on, what you look at, what you put all your energy into. And that's why the Bible said in John, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Give it your energy. Give it your focus. Put something into it. Because what will now happen is once you put that as your focus, God will give everything that he can give. He will make it. You make it at your disposal. I'm speaking concerning somebody listening to me. Everywhere your focus has broken that is affecting your family, there will be restoration this morning in the name of Jesus. So when it comes to what is being said and what you are hearing, one of the things is where you put your attention. If you are not focused, if your attention is not there, in a family, when there's communication breaker, most of the time we are not putting attention to things. That's why there's communication breakdown. That's why things are not happening the way they should happen. Because somebody is saying something, but someone is distracted. One of the things that my wife has been on my case for recently is my phone. You know, and God is helping me. Amen. Because sometimes she'll be like, hey, babe, let's put this phone aside. Because sometimes, you know, we're talking and then, I mean, many of you are guilty because some people are looking at me like, your pastor is a bad guy. You two, are you better than me? So she's talking and then I'm like, yes. She said, are you listening? I said, oh, yes, you just said this. No, you are not really listening. You have divided attention. And if you have divided attention, Jesus even said it, no man can serve two masters. Forget all this lie of multitasking. I am doing many things. I can do many things at the same time. I can listen to you, watch the TV, play with my phone, be on Instagram, comment on Facebook, and all. No. When you are distracted, you will not get the full message. I'm praying for you. Everywhere you have been distracted, God will restore you in the name of Jesus. So as we move on in this story, we see that it was from the lack of attention that this problem started. Then you move on to assumptions. One of the challenges of communication in any home or in any relationship is assumptions. There are many, many assumptions that are made. In fact, when some people are even talking to you, people are assuming. And in the days of text messages, in the days of WhatsApp, in the days of Instagram, when people greet themselves online and when they see themselves in person, they don't greet themselves. People celebrate their wife. My wife is this and all of that kind of thing on the internet. And the wife that is physically in front of them is not even hearing that from them. Many of the time, we make assumptions. For example, with text, you cannot determine the tone of what the person is trying to say. So sometimes the person says this thing, you will read something else. And there are many times, even without text, even when people are speaking, they read something. Remember that what the devil played on Eve to make Eve to go his way was that he said, did God really say so? He put what God said on the level of assumption. He said, Eve, you are assuming that God said that you should not eat the fruit. What God was just saying is this, do you want to be wise? And he thinks you said, no, you don't want to be wise. But me, I'm not asking you, do you want to be wise? Eve said, yes. He said, if you want to be wise, then God is not saying you should not really eat it. Because that's what he said. If you read it, Genesis chapter 3, he said, did God really say that you should not eat? He turned what God said to something that is a fable. He made her to begin to make assumption. In families today, husband is making assumption. Wife is making assumption. What she said, this is what she means. That's why I said, what I said, and this is what I said, this is what you heard. And in communication, it is not just what is said, what is heard is as important as what is said. Because in communication, there is a sending side and there is a receiving side. So you must make sure you got the message that from the sending side to the receiving side, the integrity of the message is maintained. So when there is assumption, and there's a lot of assumption in families, a lot of assumptions, there is a lot of assumption about raising children. There is a lot of assumption about even things like sex. There are assumptions about things like money. There are assumptions about all kinds of things. And the lowest level of knowledge is assumption. It's equal to ignorance. Because assumption is not true. It's not always true. There are some assumptions. There are sometimes people assume things and then it tends to be true. But most of the time, assumption is not true. So in your family and in my family, one of the things we must seek to do is to make sure that we dispel assumptions, is to make sure that we don't make things be on the level of assumption. Don't assume your children are saved. I grew up in a pastor's house. So many people have said things like this. Oh, pastor's children, they don't serve the Lord. Do you know the truth? It's because many pastors assume that going to church means you'll be saved. Just like many parents assume going to school means you're educated. I've said it many times. When I went to high school, I didn't go to school. I just went to play. My high school years, what you call senior high school or what, yeah, high school here, I just played. One day I went to my classroom. Somebody was arguing with me that I'm not in the class. I said, this is my class. He said, no, you are not in this class. I said, this is my class. Will you tell me my class? He said, I've never seen you here. I said, but this is my class. I'm going to take an exam here. He said, I've never seen. I called the class captain. I said, class rep. I said, excuse me, am I on the roster? He said, I'm on the roster. The guy was surprised. Because what? I will show up in class, first day of class, look at the teacher, get the syllabus or whatever, or curriculum, whatever, and that's it. I will never come there again. What do I do? I do, even me too, today, I'm like, what do you do for 3-4 months? What do you do? I don't know. In my last year of school, I did not, it's not that I will go and then the teacher will be boring and walk out of the class. I will not even be there. So many of those teachers, they don't know me. They will just see some names in their exam sheet. I'm like, who is Emmanuel Adewale? It was when I left high school, I gave my life to Christ, that I now went back to school. I did school under like 4 months because I had to take, I failed woefully, terribly. In fact, then I thought I was a dull kid because I just failed woefully. Why? I never went to school. And I bet my parents thought, he's in school, he's in boarding school, very strict school. We like the military style because I was in a military school. So they trained them very well for life. But I was joking, I was playing. Why? They were assuming that because I went to school, I was doing well. Many parents do that. In America, sometimes it may not be the easiest way to do that because they will tell you to come and collect the report cards and you will do conference with the teachers. Some, once in a while, they will let you know what's going on. But then I will just come home, whether I fail or not fail. And most of the time, you just get the minimum C, you know. And then they look at you, oh, okay. You move on like that. Why? Assumptions. I'm praying for you that any area of your life that the devil has cheated you by way of assumption, you will recover back in the name of Jesus. Let me run through a few things that can help communications in our home. Help communication in our home. Help communication anywhere you find yourself so that what you said and what is heard is the same thing. The first thing we see in James chapter 1 and verse 19. James chapter 1 verse 19. The Bible said in James 1:19, is it coming up? It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear. You have 2 ears so that you can hear 2 times more than you speak. The reason your mouth is not 2 and your ear 1 is because God wants you to hear 2 times. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. God wants you to hear 2 times because the first time you didn't hear well. The second time you need to rehear it. Many of the times the problem with communication is that what the other person is saying, the other person is not hearing. So when your husband and wife, they are talking, husband is speaking, wife is getting ready to respond. It's almost like when we are texting. When somebody is texting, you said this, you are responding by the first sentence the person said. You have not even read everything. Just like people go on social media too. When somebody says something, you know, speak life with Pastor, this is speak life with Pastor, people have reacted to that first sentence. They didn't listen to the whole thing. And they just, and you will know, because by their comments, they did not listen to the whole thing. And it's happening in our homes. The wife is saying something. The husband is not really hearing. He is preparing an answer for her. But the Bible said, one of the ways to get communication perfect in a home, in relationships, anywhere you find yourself, is you should be quick to listen. You should be quick to hear. You should be quick to listen, but very slow to speak. Sometimes to help you to be slow to speak, ask questions. Do you mean this? Do you mean that? I found that sometimes in my house, I say something, my wife heard another thing. My wife says something, I heard another thing. You mean you said this? And she said, that's not what I'm trying to say. No. That's what you're trying to say. And then you get very angry. You know, I told you we don't fight in my house. Amen to Jesus. Amen to Jesus. We just do loud quarrels. You know, you know how you raise up the volume on your car stereo? You just raise up the volume a little bit and just have some educated dialogue on the highest on the highest level. So I'm encouraging you as you go into a new month. Listen twice as much as you speak. Listen twice. Sometimes pause before you speak. Think before you say it. Even though the person is familiar to you, don't just say. One of the things I have found that even parents, in fact, parents are guilty of that. We have said things that we don't even mean what we have said. You have said it in anger. You have said it in annoyance. You have said it, and you are not going to correct the child. Then you don't want that child to behave differently from how you have behaved. The fact that the child is wrong does not mean that you should react and respond the way the child has responded. You can still be calm and still do justice with that child. I remember several years ago, I used to, once in a while, when I go to the redemption camp, I would stay extra time in the general overseer's house. So this year, he told us that we should clean up the house. I mean, Redeemed Christian Church of God was a little smaller than this then. He told us to clean the house. And then we said, okay, we'll clean the house. So as soon as he went out, we saw his car going out. We went to play soccer. So we were playing soccer. And then when we now saw church bus coming, oh, we said, wow, that means daddy's coming. We now ran home, cleaned up our face, did everything, went to lay the bed, and then just came out and said, ah, welcome, daddy. How are you? And, you know, the way he always, you see him, you know, just calm like that. It was just calm. He was like, oh, did you guys do what I told you to do? We said, yes, sir, we did it. He said, come to my room. He now told us to get on his bed, and then he brought some things that he was going to use to train us in the way that we should go. Does anybody understand what that looks like? I wouldn't use more than that. If you understand, you understand. But he got some things that he could use on our backs that will help us. So we were confused. We were like, we did everything. And he now told us, he said, I was not in my car. The bus that you saw, I was in the bus. So when you were running in front, you were just running in my front. I saw you people running. I saw you run inside. We were surprised because the attitude he had did not show that he knew that we had done anything. We thought we were fooling him. And he said, look, this will be. And he was smiling. And he gave it to us. We were crying, but he was smiling. That is the way parents should be dealing with kids. You know, you are still smiling. Oh, you are wrong. But you are going to serve punishment. It's time out. Sit down there. And you are smiling and you're still reading the newspaper. The child will get the message, but the child will not feel that they are condemned or not loved. So what am I saying this morning? Listen twice as much as you speak. Because if you do that, if you are very considerate about how you listen, you will not jump into rats. You will not just be angry unnecessarily. You will not just be angry unnecessarily. Another thing I like to say to you, even from scripture this morning, it is better to win a relationship than win an argument. Can somebody say amen to that? Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Argument doesn't help anybody. When I first got married, I didn't know that. I think I should have been a lawyer. You know, some people know I like reading law books and things like that. So I am a very logical person. You did this. And because I've been around church for a long time, I can prove anything from the Bible. There are sometimes me and my wife, we are talking, I just scripturalize it. And after a while, she just said, I give up. So I discovered that I was winning arguments. I would just put that in the right. After a while, one day, she told me that, look, there's no point talking to you. There's no point. Because your aim is to win an argument. Because sometimes when some people, especially in relationship, people familiar with you, sometimes what they say is the problem may not even be the problem. The thing they are telling you that is the problem is a symptom of the problem. Or is something that has happened because of the problem. So when you try to just address only what they have said and not listen to what is behind what they are saying and not understand where they are coming from and not try to be in their shoes but struggle to win an argument, you will lose the relationship. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, soft words, it turns away strife. Proverbs 15, verse 1. It says, soft answer turneth away strife, but grievous words stir up anger. There is something I can say that will keep the argument and the fight to be elongated. There is also something I can say, and how I say it, to calm down the situation. I'm praying for somebody this morning that every relationship that you have lost due to bad discretion, I want to win the argument. I want to show you that you are wrong. I want to make you understand that you were the one that did the wrong thing. I pray that God will restore you in the name of Jesus. Let me say this also. What you say is not as important as how you say it. What you say is not as important as how you say it. Many people focus on the what. They don't know that the how is actually even stronger. What you are saying with your body language, language experts tell us that communication is the smallest percentage of communication is with speech or words. The greatest percentage are non-verbal. They are not words. They are how. They are the tone. They are the expression. They are the way you position yourself. They are how you do your face. They are the mannerism, the body language. It speaks louder than the words. So what you say is not as important as you say it. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and 15, Ephesians 4 and 15, it says, speak the truth, but speak it in love. There is a how to say things. There is a how to speak to your husband. There is a how to speak to your wife. There is a how to speak to your children. There are many children that their parents were the ones that limited them. They told them things when they were young that those children never recovered from. The way the parents said it, maybe the child didn't do too well. The way you said it made the child think that they cannot do well again in that area. And they internalize it and run with you to the end of time. I told you the story here before, maybe not here exactly, but I've said it here before. That sometimes, some years ago, I had a teacher. I'd done something pretty wrong, and then I was trying to explain myself, then I made grammatical error. And then the teacher said, correct yourself. And what I said was this, I did a mistake. Is he wrong? They don't even know. So you are like me, okay? I just told the lady, I did a mistake. And she said, correct yourself. I don't know what was wrong with that. At least then, I didn't know. Some people still don't know. Well, English is not, I mean, English is what you call it, right? So I said, I did a mistake. Then she said, correct yourself. I thought, okay, I didn't say it in the right tonation. So I went a little bit phonetic, you know, about it. You know, so I went, I did a mistake. So, and this is in class. All the people were just, the way you are laughing, that people were just having a good time on me. Then I probably said like four or five iterations of I did a mistake because I thought it was the way I pronounced it that was wrong. Then the teacher called me and said, you know, I mean, said a bunch of things and said, you don't know what you should have said. I made a mistake. Oh, made, not did. But you see, that whole interaction, it messed me up big time. It messed me up so much that, in fact, maybe that's where I got some level of my shyness from. Because maybe I don't know if I was shy before that time. Maybe I was, but it went to a dangerous level. It went to a level where that one day in class, in that same class, I needed to use the restroom. But because after that day, I never stand up from the class until everybody stands up from that class. Because I can't allow anybody to ask me anything. I was not talking to anybody. I didn't interact with anybody. I will come to the class, sit with my book, and that's it. So I needed to use the restroom, and I sat there and I messed up myself in the class. Because I couldn't stand up. If I stood up, somebody can ask me a question and I will go and say, I did a mistake. So I couldn't bear to stand up. And that thing marked me for a long time. I was dangerously shy. I mean, shy that, I remember the first time I held a microphone. My hands were shaking so much. I was wearing a wristwatch that had changed. The wristwatch broke. Amen. Like shackles. My hands were shaking that much, you know, because of that action, because of what happened there. So what that person did to me marked me. And many parents have done it to their children. But I stand on the rock of ages this morning. Everything that was done to you or that you have done to others, knowingly or unknowingly, that is speaking against them negatively in their presence, I cancel it in the name of Jesus. So in your communications, as we round up this morning, let your words mimic Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Everywhere you find yourself, let your words look like that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, let your words be true. Do you know church people don't say the truth all the time? Amen. Don't lie, even to your children. Don't lie. Let your words be true. Let your words be honest. Whatsoever things are just, let your words be just. Whatsoever things are pure, let your words be pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, let your words be lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report, let your words be of good report. Let it be based on what the word of God says. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Say these things. Let your words, let your communication be like this. And in closing this morning, if you want your home not to go like what happened to Eve, because you see, that fall of man was a communication breakdown. Has God really said? Did God really mean what he said? Assumption set in, attention was messed up, and everything started going down the drain. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, to your children, to your wife, to your husband, this is how we should talk to one another. At work, this is how we should talk. The Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let your words have grace with it. Let your word to your spouse, especially people that are close to your life. Most of the time, our harshest words are not to strangers. Our harshest words are to people that we know. When they are there, when they are not there. The Bible says, let your word, let your speech, whether you are joking, some homes, where the people talking and say, we are just joking. Don't joke like that. My kids have come to meet me before and say, I saw some people talking in church. I think they are fighting. You know, some of the Nigerian languages can be a little aggressive. They are talking. And I said, they're not fighting. They are just joking. But don't be joking so that your words will not be with grace. Let your speech be with grace. Let it be seasoned with salt so that everyone will be blessed that is listening to you, especially those people that are close to you. Because what you are saying must be heard. And for what you are saying to be heard, you need to garnish it. You need to add things to it. Grace is one of those things. Grace is one of those things. Will you bow down your head this morning and receive grace and receive help to help you as you go into the second half of the year, that your home will stand as a home on the rock? Because one of the bedrock of a house on the rock is that what is said is being heard, and what is said is mixed with grace so that it can be everywhere. Will you speak to God? Ask God to help you. Help you with your spouse, help you with your children, help you with your colleagues,